here and a part of that. I remember a story of a scientist that traveled all over the United States. And he was covering a number of different topics, and he would go to different places all across the United States. And he had an assistant that would travel with him and help him move his equipment, get things ready, PowerPoint and all that. And they traveled for years. And so finally the assistant looked at the scientist and said, you know, I have traveled with you for so many years. You know, I know that all the answers, all the questions. I mean, I think we could switch places. I could do your job and you can do mine. And so so one week, the scientist says, okay, let's switch places. And everything went well. I mean, the assistant did a good job until about half hour into the seminar. Somebody raised his hand and asked a question. And he was so stumped. He said, you know, that question is so simple, my assistant can answer that one. So if I don't have the answer, Kevin will have the answer. So I'd like to encourage you to open up your Bible. Join me at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead real quick here and read Romans chapter 1 before we get into the seminar. As you look, hopefully all of you have a booklet. Does everybody have a booklet? My Shepherd's Staff, a Savior's Tool in Admonishing Faithful Followers. We're going to get started on that here today. So My Shepherd's Staff, and I'm going to go ahead and read Romans chapter 1 as we get started here tonight. As a reference to what we're going to be looking at, I hope that this will be an encouragement to you. Our Savior does have a staff. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd, and I hope you can say the same thing, that he is your shepherd. It's very, very comforting. So let's look here in Romans chapter 1, and I'd like to begin to read chapter 1 here for us today as we get started. In fact, the first two pages covers chapter 1 and 2. But let's go ahead and just read chapter 1 for now. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the Word of God says this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to that faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I received with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I supposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as many as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the worth For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, that they are without excuse. You know, there's people today who do not believe that Jesus Christ created this world. And some people think, you know, well, what about those people in the darkest part of Africa? If they have never heard about Jesus, would God really send them to hell? This verse says yes, because they have creation to reveal himself. Look at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow, that's got so much in there. But let's look at our study and how I'd like to put this all together. Let's see here, what's going on? Here we go. All right, we got it now. Okay, the verses that we want to center on, first of all, Romans 1, 16 and 17. Can I have somebody read those for us? Yes, go ahead. Yes, so the first question is the purifying staff, and that is, how good do you have to be to enter into the gates of heaven? That's a trick question, isn't it? You have to be perfect. You have to be perfect in order to enter into the gates of heaven. Perfect, because God demands perfection. There's no way that we can meet the perfection that God demands. God demands perfection. So, is there anything that you can do all by yourself that would make you good enough to go to heaven? The answer is no. There's nothing that we can do that would be good enough to get to heaven. And there's all kinds of things that men try. Baptism, Lord's Supper, helping an old lady across the street. And by the way, we don't have any old ladies here, so it's not going to do them any good. It's just not going to work. And so... And there's nothing that we could do that would cover what God demands, because God demands perfection. He demands perfection. So then the next question, the fact that God is righteous means that his very nature is right and good. He is righteous. He is perfect. There's nothing that has dawned upon God. He knows everything. There isn't anything that he does not know. So the fact that God is righteous means that his very nature is right and that he is good. He cannot do wrong nor sin. Heaven must be a place without sin. It must be a place of perfection. And we sang a song today, A Mansion Over the Hilltop. And of course, that word there in scripture is referring to a condo. We have a condominium, and it's a big one. And I know the songwriters, they couldn't figure out how to put that word condo in there. It just doesn't rhyme right. So they put a mansion, because a mansion sounds better. But it's really not a mansion. It's a condominium. It's a condo. And that's where we're going to spend eternity, and that it cannot, there's nothing that can be wrong nor sin in God's presence. Have you met this high standard of righteousness? The answer is no. We cannot meet that standard. It is impossible. We just cannot do it. We cannot meet that standard. So, what does the Bible say about man? Three types of sinners. There's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Share with us these three types of sinners. The first type of sinner is the heathen sinner. H-E-A-T-H-E-N. The heathen sinner. Is everybody caught up with me, or do we miss something? Everybody's caught up. So there's three types of sinners. Here we go. The heathen sinner, and then the moral sinner. I think this must be, there's no blanks for these. That's what I was wondering. So there's no blanks for them. So you notice that three types of sinner. The first one is heathen sinner. And then there's the moral sinner further down in 2 verses 1 through 16. Yeah, there's sections. And then the third one is religious sinner. So there's the heathen sinner, the moral sinner, and the religious sinner. And they're all found here in the book. So first of all, let's look at the heathen sinner. Nope, no place to put them. They're already there, though. They're already there, Nick. Here's the characteristics. Here's the characteristics of the heathen sinner. Number one, they have no interest in God. No interest whatsoever. It's found in Romans chapter 2. No interest in God. No, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. No interest in God. And you kind of see that in the world today. No interest whatsoever. No interest in the things of God. No interest in going to church. No interest in believing that there's a God. They believe that this world just appeared. That you and I are a mistake. We are in an accident. And there is no God. So the heathen sinner. Yes. Yes. Yep. Right. And then number two. They choose to ignore the truth. They choose to ignore the truth. They kind of twist it too. Yep. And then number three, they were rebellious against God. And we read about the rebellious and the rebellion, all the things they're involved in. Not interested in the truth, not interested in God. Sometimes they twist it. They call what's true false and what's false true. They just kind of twist it all around and try to make themselves feel good. Yes. Yep. 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 And then in Romans 1, 18 through 32, there are steps of rebellion. Steps of rebellion against God. And we read those. They do not glorify God. Somebody want to read verse 21?
Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, as God, neither were thankful to what became vain in their imagination, and yeah. Their foolish heart was darkened.
Yes. That's a scary place to be. Very scary place to be, a heathen sinner. Then number two, that's verse 23, they change God into a image. Yeah, somebody read verse 23. Yes, go ahead, Sue. Yes, so you can think of a lot of images. You know, Egypt has all those images of what finks, like lions and birds and snakes. And then we also have people today who have images of individuals like Mary, Joseph, some of the... Yes. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah, and then Buddha, Baal, you got the images also of the golden calf. I think that golden calf might have been kind of similar to or looked a lot, probably a lot like gods of in Egypt before they left and things like that. And then the golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar that put up that golden image in rebellion against God. So there's lots of images that... And certainly when we think about heathen sinners, when I think about images of Mary and worshiping that mostly fits in the next category, and we'll get there. And then number three, they turn the truth of God into a lie. Verse 25. And I think about that individual that I met last week at the funeral who claimed that he said, you know, I'm a Jew and I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You know, they changed the truth into a lie, saying, no, Jesus is. And, you know, when you look at all the prophecy that we looked at in Sunday school, how can you ignore that? That it's just so plain and clear and God's word is powerful and the truth is found therein. So... they turn the truth of God into a lie. And you see that all the time. The next one is found in verse 28. They do not keep God in their knowledge. So verse 28, Romans 1, 28. Yes. Yep. So is everybody able to keep up with me? Are we doing okay? I don't want to go too fast, but I don't want to go too slow either. Here we go. Okay, and then the heathen sinner. The heathen sinner. This one's found in Romans 1:23. Who would like to read Romans 1:23, and then we'll put the answers up? Jane, okay. Or 32. Romans 1:32. I'm sorry, Romans 1:32. Yes, so they knew the judgment of God on sin, but continued to sin, And not only that, they encouraged others to sin. Oh, my. That's the heathen sinner. Yep. Yes, that's right. Yep. Like to take others with him. And I kind of look at that, you know, Satan. Satan, here he was condemned. You know, when he tricked Adam and Eve into partaking of the fruit that God told him not to, he was condemned for eternity in hell. And I guess my understanding is that Satan doesn't want to go alone, so he's going to pull as many people that he can, lie to them, deceive them, and lots of them are following him, choosing to rebel against God. And Satan, he's a shyster, he's a stealer, he's a thief and a liar, and the prince of lies. Wow. So not only the heathen sinner, but let's look at the next one, and that's the moral sinner. The moral sinner. His characteristics are found in chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And I'm not going to take the time to read chapter 2 right now, but we'll read it next Sunday night. And the moral sinner, his characteristics, they are good young people. They are really good. These are moral sinners, and they're good people, really good people. But yet, no matter how good they are, they're still lost in sin, and they lived with parents who had standards. You know, good standards and standards that the world will look at, you know, hey, you know, you need to be a good person. And if you're a good person, you just might make it to heaven. And they're the moral sinners. And they often, and I've got some things here that they just will not do. They think, hey, you know, I don't do these things, so I'm good enough, you know. And look at them. Here's some of the things that they look at and say, I don't do these things, and so therefore I must be a good person. Like, they do not drink, they do not smoke, nor do they chew, nor do they go with girls that do. I mean, they're really good people. And number three, they seem to be good enough. I mean, moral individual. You know, I'm good enough. I don't do these things. And you know, so therefore, I must be okay. And their standard is really high. But yet, they're lost in their sin. They have no hope and no peace. No peace knowing that they have eternal life. That's the moral sinner. And then we also have God's basis for judgment. God's basis of judgment for them in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, is according to truth. Someone like to read that one for us? We're going to look at 2, 3, 6 through 10, 11 through 12. Okay, verse 2, yes. Right, it's according to truth. And God is the source of truth. And the punishment is inescapable. Verse 3. Yep, they will not. The punishment is inescapable. And then verses 6 through 10, it is according to works. Romans chapter 2, 6 through 10. Yes, go ahead. Good, yes. So his judgment is according to his works, the things that he has done, the things that he has committed. And then number 4, without respect of persons, verses 11 and 12. Does it? Yep. Yep. So it's without respect to persons. No matter who you are, you're going to stand in judgment. You know, people in this world depend upon their status or their livelihood. They could be a millionaire or somebody famous, a movie star. And sometimes those people, they get away with murder. But before God, there's no respect of persons. No matter what your status was on earth, you could be a king of a nation or a president. You're going to stand before the Lord just like everybody else. There's no respect of persons. And then verses 13 through 15, it is God's judgment is according to performance. Verses 13 through 15. Yes.
Which show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, and meanwhile, as accusing or self-executing one another.
Yes. And then number six, and that's verse 16, according to the secrets of the heart. Verse 16, someone's got that one? Yep, so God's judgment on the moral sinner is according to truth, it's inescapable, and it's according to the works and the no respect of person, the things that they have done, whether it's secret or performance, whatever that is, God is going to judge them. There's no escaping it. God sees every action, everything done, every thought, every step, and God sees it all. And if we stand before the Lord without Christ, we're going to be judged and punished for the sin that we have committed, and that is the moral sinner. Next Sunday night, we'll start off with the religious sinner. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for tonight, this Bible study that's just so convicting and so powerful to realize that you are the source of truth and that we need to study and understand the word and to understand how we stand before you. That, Father, I pray that each and every one here has hope in Christ, that they can honestly say that you are my shepherd, my way, truth, and life. Father, use this study as we continue on through next Sunday and beyond for your honor and glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Yep, let's sing a closing hymn.
Do, 160. Please turn in your hymns to 160. All three verses. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Verse 2. Though death into life everlasting, he passed and we followed him there. Over sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Nonetheless, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Thank you all very much.
Yeah. Yep. See you Wednesday night. Lord bless you. Thanks for coming.
You are dismissed. Thank you.